everybody. Welcome in on this Thursday to the Maize and Blue Reviews. Good afternoon, Michigan football. My pleasure to be here at 1 o'clock weekdays. I'm talking about the latest in Michigan sports. And yesterday was a real doozy with Michigan picking up some football commitments. And today, I think, you know, it's another doozy in terms of Michigan and some news that has sprung up and really across the board with the football team, the future of the football team, all of those things out there. I won't tease you anymore. I'll just jump right into it and tell you what I'm talking about here. I've got a forecast coming your way, a 50-in forecast. I have gathered enough news and information where I feel compelled to put in my second ever forecast. And so I'll do that coming up, but you may or may not have heard, but there is some more. You want NIL news? We got NIL news coming your way. But first, we're going to start talking about a practice, not the games for Michigan. Again, we are still in spring practice. The spring game is a week from this Saturday, so we're not yet able to talk about the spring game. We're still talking about spring practice, not the game, but practice. And, you know, as far as practice goes, the last 2 days, you know, we had Jim Scarcelli, who was down at practice and holding, I don't know if he was biting his tongue, but, you know, just giving his impressions on what he saw down there on the sideline at the one practice that he went to. And then, you know, I had talked to somebody who was at the more than one practice for Michigan here in the spring. And I relayed that. If you're somebody that's like, man, I want some Michigan practice information. Well, if you are a member of the Maize and Blue Review, you'll know that Josh Henschke, sometimes he's putting out multiple updates and what he's hearing down at practice daily, but he's certainly, you know, rolling them out there, and you'll know that. I just tell people that for the few of you that may not have are up and subscribed that are like, man, I want more. That's how you get it. Go to michigan.rivals.com. But if you're tuning in and did not watch or listen to the last 2 days, I would suggest staying with this one live and then going back and listening, whether it's on the podcast or if you like watching the video on YouTube, you can do that as well. All there available for you. Now, what I was able to pick up in talking with somebody that was down there at practice, and at times, you know, coaches, you know, it's like you know, presidents do this, senator, and, you know, the governors, a lot of people, they're in big time positions. They'll do this. You know, they use the media a little bit, you know, to get their message out there. And I think that Jim Harbaugh was doing a little bit of this as well, talking with some people and some former players in this case. I'm not talking about Jim Scarcelli. This is coming from somebody that I talked with. But the message is clear for the spring that Harbaugh wants to get out there. One is that there's a buzz around the Michigan program, and they all feel it, and they all have this energy, and they all have this vibe going towards that. And you may sit back and say, nah, let's wait for the season. We need to be talking about things that I can't grasp onto. And I understand that. You have a little bit of, you know, not the sandwich that you can sink your teeth into when you're talking about spring practice and the notes. I get that. But I do hearken back to just 2 years ago and some of the things that were said just as recently as 2 years ago. There's a lot of other examples. And sometimes you hear the most cliche stuff come out of players' mouths, and then it just it continues on, and then you hear it so much and you're saying, wow, you know what? Maybe I should have listened a little. Maybe I should have taken in a little bit more of that. I go back to Aiden Hutchinson 2 years ago, and he was talking about the former Michigan players that had come back as coaches, and that the coaching staff, they were a younger coaching staff, and that there was a real vibe with the coaching staff. And he said you could feel it at spring practice, you know, whether it was the music that they were playing or the energy that they just were displaying during the practices, because all season long, Aiden was like, you know, is this team different? Yeah, this team's different. And he kept pointing back to spring practice after the Ohio State win. You know, there are a lot of national interviews coming his way, you know, Heisman Trophy people, you know, a lot of interviews for Aiden Hutchinson. And he just kept going back to the spring and the vitality of the coaches, just the vibe of the coaches. And I heard that loud and clear again with what the coaches are going through here. They felt that 2 years ago. They talked about capturing that again because they had to defend the title last year, and that was going to be really important to them. And I could tell that they're coming back and they're going about that the same way, having that energy and vibe. All right. The other thing, and we have talked about it a lot, and I think a lot of people are talking about it a lot, there's an awful lot of players that are on this Michigan football team, on this Michigan football roster. You know, you have 85 scholarships, but you start counting them up and you're like, wait, that's 90, that's 91, that's 92. It's like, wait a second. I mean, what's going to happen? How many people can possibly leave? Probably a lot. And, you know, you think about the transfer portal and just, you know, what can happen with that thing. Jim Harbaugh is aware of how many players and how chock full this roster is. And he has said, I would not be surprised when he talks again, whether it's to John Jansen and the homemade pod that he does, Michigan pod, or if, you know, he's actually, you know, talks to the assembled media, you know, where he takes questions. I bet that he gets across the point that he is going to be playing a lot of players, not just the competition. It is good. And, you know, the plan at Michigan is big time rotation and not just the competition, but a lot of players are going to play. Now that's, you know, that's another one of those things like, okay, you know, they're going to play a lot of guys. That sounds good. Does it? It sounds good in theory, you know, everybody gets to play, but it's just like last year, Michigan has a non-conference that whenever it's going to start, probably in the summer, you'll see, you know, somebody like Pat Forty, who's a college football national guy, he'll be like, ah, Michigan's got this week non-conference schedule again. Somebody will do it. And, you know, there'll be a couple of them. You know, Michigan's week. And then they won't lay out the three worst that, you know, all the SEC does. They'll just lay out the three for Michigan. We know what's going on there. But it's true that Michigan has three easy non-conference games again this year. And as much as we talked about it last year, do you remember Harbaugh really utilized the three easy games, so much so that he put out what I had never seen before, a battle royale between his two quarterbacks. Cade's going to start number one. JJ's going to start number two. And we'll see from there. Like, wow. That's nobody was predicting that that's how Harbaugh was going to do it. And let's see if he's here today. I don't see him on the chat, but frequently we have somebody that gets in the chat named Antoine. And Antoine has been adamant that Michigan has so much depth on their offensive line that Antoine's like, why not run two units? And you're like, okay, yeah, you mean like during practice? He's like, no. Run two units during the game. Get a series out there or rotate them. And then, you know, you ask somebody like Jim Scarcelli who played, you know, football. You know, you ask me, you say, you know, how viable. It's like, I've never seen it. There's never been a team and certainly in the pros and I don't think in college that have, you know, just wholesale rotated their offensive line. You know, you don't do that. But then you look at the numbers that Michigan has, and I'm not predicting that Michigan is going to have a revolving door and rotate offensive linemen in the first or second game. I'm not going to be surprised, though, if they do have a competition that goes into, just like with the quarterbacks last year, game one and game two, where we see 5, 10, 12 guys getting in the mix where they try to get their best five out there by Bowling Green, which is the third non-conference game. And as much as it focused on the offensive line, like, yeah, don't do that. That doesn't sound like a very good idea, doing something that no other team has done. I agree with that. But I think, again, this is just like having the quarterback competition. You have those first two games where you can play around. You can do some different things. You can play everybody. You can have a competition for all to see out there at Michigan Stadium with 110,000 and millions of people watching. That's going to produce a lot more of competition or a clear winner than, sure, you go through practice and coaches love the value of practice and what you can do during the sessions and periods that you have during practice. They're invaluable. I'm not, you know, any former player or coach that's watching this, like, these guys don't understand how practice works. No, we get that. The practice is very valuable, but the game also can be very valuable as well that way. And while I'm focusing on the offensive line, there's two position groups that I'm really not in favor of wholesale changes all the time. One is the quarterback position. They talked about that all last year. Let whoever wins that quarterback competition, let that quarterback be the quarterback. And let him be the quarterback. And then if the game gets enough where, you know, you want to put in the backup at the end, do that. But don't do it like you did the year before. And that was a really solid move by Jim Harbaugh, declaring a starting quarterback when he did, and that he wasn't going to play the rotation game, even though he did the previous year. And it didn't end up hurting him. Maybe you could make a case for, and you know, there's people that did, and I did a little bit, that Michigan lost that Michigan State game by, you know, putting JJ in, you know, when they did. But he played with fire a little bit there, and he did get burned a little bit, but ultimately, you know, Michigan won the Big Ten and went to the college football playoff. So it ended up working out, even though it didn't look like it was going to. And he would have been a lot more criticized for that if it didn't end up working out like it did. But then he did a good job last year declaring, getting a single starter in there. So the quarterback position, I'm not in favor of. And, you know, who would be after seeing how it played out last year? The offensive line's the other one. Like the quarterback, I like to have the five best, and I like to have those guys in there, and I want them working as a unit so they get to know the guy next to them. So the offensive line is best described to me. I've never been an offensive lineman, nor have I been a like rocket, like dancer. You know, they're kicking up their legs and everything, but they've got to practice all together to get that, you know, cohesion and unity where they can go out there in front of, I'm talking about the dancers, you know, and so they can be able to perform as one. So for the quarterback and offensive line, but all of the other positions, I would predict, and you might think this isn't that big of a prediction, but this is something that Michigan is planning on doing. It sounds like to me, Harbaugh is sounding that little, you know, he's laying the groundwork for it. And you might not think that it's that big of a deal, but it is something that's happening, and it is something to pay attention to. Michigan has so much depth on their team that Harbaugh indicated that he knows this is not one of those situations where, you know, you can hang on to a guy and tell him to bide their time and those that stay will be champions. That's a great line and everything, but Harbaugh knows that you either play guys or you lose guys. You play them or lose them. And if you stay, you will play. If you stay and you don't play, then you shouldn't stay. It should be a sign that you should be out of here, that, you know, that Michigan doesn't want you out there and that you can't get out there. You should hit the transfer portal. I'm saying this. I don't know if the coaches say this, you know, they talk about processing a guy or whatever else. But the time now with the numbers that you have and the way things are working with the transfer portal, that if you don't play a guy, you can expect that he's going to hit the transfer portal, that he's going to be out the door. Harbaugh knows this, so he's either playing them or he knows that he is going to lose them. And with that information, wouldn't you now in the spring and heading in, who is on this team, especially since you have You can't come out and say, hey, we got real three real easy games here. Can't you know without saying it that Michigan's going to come out and throw everything and throw everybody out there and everybody's going to get a good look and everybody's going to get a burn and everybody's going to get a chance? Now, you have your best laid plans, and it worked really good for Michigan last year. Remember, they were, they had 50 points against Colorado State. It was 23-0 at the half. That game was essentially over. The Hawaii game, you could tell, was going to be over on the first drive. It was 42-0 at the half, 38-0 at the half against UConn. Again, over. They say this year is going to be a little bit tougher with East Carolina, UNLV, and BG. Okay. You know, you can say that. For this team, the important part, and another part that can be emphasized with you saying it, but not coming out and saying, like, Harbaugh is not going to say, yeah, we're going to be running up to score so we can get everybody in there. But you also know that if you want to play more guys and you want to rotate a 2, 3, and even 4 deep into September, you know how you do this. You score. The more points that Michigan scores, the more players that they can play. So let's go over this, even though it sounds a little Dr. Seuss-ish, that you'll play them or lose them now in 23. And if Michigan's not playing them, they're saying, we're all right with losing them. And if you're a player and you're not playing, you shouldn't stay. That's the message. And guys are going to play. And there's going to be a heavy rotation, and it's going to be into September, and Michigan can help themselves out with his best laid plan by going out there and doing what they did last year. And what was that they did in September, as we just talked about? They smashed their opponents. They scored 50 points. They scored 51 against Colorado State. They scored 56 against Hawaii. And what was the UConn score? 60-0? 59-0. Is that right? 59-0. Corum had 5 TDs. Everybody can get into the end zone. Everybody can play. That is the plan. As we sit here and they're playing all these different guys in spring and with the idea, and if it's Harbaugh using me like in the media to say, hey guys, you stay around. You're going to get a real chance to get out there because Harbaugh is planning on playing a lot of players. I think it's true. On multiple fronts here, I think Harbaugh is using me in the media, but I also think that there's truth to it as well. So away we go. That's what I have to say today about spring practice. Now, I'm a show that likes to talk about the latest in Michigan sports and what's going on. And we have the feedback selection where you can get in. And you can make a point, you can ask a question, or you can razz me a little bit like I was expecting this one because I have told the folks, if you're just joining us, that I'll be making a forecast, and Andres is on me about my forecasts. Oh, a tie is looking for some good news. We got good news, Ed. In addition to my forecast, there's some good news with the NIL. Victor is jumping ahead to that story about the NIL, and he says it makes scholarships irrelevant. We were over the scholarship limit throughout the season last year. I think that there's some truth to that, Victor. Now, the thing about last year, you know, you had the pandemic, so you had those bonus years. You know, you had the 6 years. And Michigan had, you know, I'm talking about 2 years ago and even last year, you had some super seniors, you know, the guys that were going to be around for a 6th year and that kind of thing. So you're right about that. But the thing about the NLI, in theory, you're right. Victor, if you and I are both going to play Michigan football, and they come up to me, Michigan does, and through the back channels or whatever else, however they're doing it, I'm not exactly sure. But they say, yeah, you know, we're loaded up on scholarships, but come on in. And we'll pay for your school. We'll pay for your training table. All of the the shoes and the gear and everything that else you get as a scholarship player, it's all going to be taken care of through name, image, and likeness. And I'll be like, all right, I'm good to go. There's still only 85 scholarships that you could technically sign up for. So Victor, you know, if you get one, it's still, you know, you're coming in as a scholarship player, even though I'm coming in as a walk-on, even though I might be getting all the same things that you are. And what I don't know, and it's something maybe that I can find out, is that what else goes into you being a scholarship player? Certainly when you're a scholarship player, your name, when you're on signing day and they say, hey, Michigan has signed 25 players, your name is going to be on there. The others, if you're a PWO, the preferred walk-on, you don't get your name in the shining lights, which, you know, is going to be important to a lot of people. Pretty important that you're getting paid. I also don't know, because they always said with training table, you know, the free food that you get after practice. You know, the scholarship players get to walk over there and, you know, they got it all set up there. They got the buffet line and, you know, you can go grab any food that you want. I don't know if you're a walk-on. You know, they said, well, walk-ons don't get training table. Well, the walk-on's got to leave. I don't know what to say with their head down, but maybe with name, image, and likeness, they're like, hey, you guys can have food now too. I'm not sure what the rules are, if that's taking place or not. And it's the same thing with all of the merchandise. You know, if you look at the thumbnail of today's show, there was a picture that was taken by a Michigan recruit that I got a hold of, you know, where they have all the Michigan shoes, and it looked a little different to me. It wouldn't surprise me. I haven't been down there, so I haven't actually seen all of the, you know, they might have a bunch of different spots that you can stop, but it looked like the greatest Foot Locker in the world. Plus, you had Michigan trophies and you have everything. You need to check it out. It's the picture on the front, but there's literally, I don't know, 50 pairs of shoes up there. And, you know, I like shoes. I would think that, you know, if I was a scholarship player, I would say, yes, I want 50 pairs of 9.5 tens or tens. And then I want 50 shirt. I want everything. I would just keep wanting. I mean, well, who wouldn't want all of that? All that stuff is sweet. And if I'm 18 years old and I'm coming in, I want all of it. I want the sweats. That's all I want is that kind of stuff. And yeah, you know, I get my brother and my friends, maybe a little Michigan, you know, Jumpman stuff, Michigan football, maybe give him maybe a pair of shoes. I don't know. I don't know what they're entitled to there, but maybe the walk-ons are entitled to all of those things. And the one thing that is true, that Scarcelli, who was with us yesterday and was talking about practice, it doesn't take long, even if you are a walk-on, once you start going and you practice, and if you start playing after one practice, they're reviewing the tape, like, hey, who's this guy? I didn't even have a name on. What number is he? You know, it doesn't take long where you're moving up the ladder, being able to go out there and make plays. So I don't know. I know you say this, and I think there's some truth to that. There's some details in all of that. There's also just the idea of being able to have that scholarship. So Ringo is looking in the backdrop here in the back, and he's talking about this game that I have on. It is right now Michigan 24, Ohio State 20, under 9 minutes to play in the third. McCarthy drops back, throws it on the left side. Oh, it is caught. No, it is dropped by Ronnie Bell. Man, that was a nice throw, a little back shoulder. Burke was over there, but JJ laid it out there where only Ronnie Bell could get it, and Burke may have got his hand in there. Let's look at the replay. Bell coming out of his break here. Let's see. He just runs it down the sideline. He stops, and yeah, Burke just made a nice play. Bell almost had it, but he got his hand up there and knocked it out. Yeah, I don't have any problem watching the Michigan-Ohio State game a number of times. We talked about him a little bit earlier. His ears must have been ringing. It is Antoine who says, I came in just in time. When I say rotate lines, I don't mean constantly. Michigan can rotate at least every other series. You just don't understand. Michigan can literally go 15 deep on the O-line. Well, Antoine, you know, you'll have to go back and watch the beginning of the show. Like, it'll be music to your ears. What Harbaugh was saying, not directly to me, but was saying to a former player about playing multiple players, the emptying the field or the sideline with a rotation of players. Michigan plans on playing a lot of players and a big time rotation. Now, I feel like every position you can do that except offensive line and quarterback, but maybe because of the schedule that Michigan will be able to do that in the first couple games as well. So it might be is exactly as you are forecasting, my friend, and you will be, we will be hearing from you in September. If it comes out and they're like, Michigan's rotating their offensive linemen, Antoine's going to be sitting at home going, I told everybody this is what's going to happen. Scott on the feedback is asking if we have a star caliber player at wide receiver. Ronnie Bell and Corney were decent players, but not game breakers, both NFL bench players. Well, if Corney, you mean Cornelius Johnson, I hadn't heard anybody call, I've heard him called Kojo, but, you know, Corney. A little corny. Now, Kojo is back, technically. And as a senior, I would expect, if you're talking about a star caliber player, I would put Cornelius Johnson, maybe not as a star caliber player, but as a senior in the game-breaking ability that we saw against Ohio State, I think you'd be looking for more from Cornelius Johnson. And I think that he would want to do more. Like, you can't say, you know, can he have every game like the Ohio State game? I like that players show up in big time games. So I like that from Kojo. But, you know, there's a chance that he could put together an outstanding senior year where he could be all conference. I don't know if that fits your star player. I think he's got a chance to be that. I think Roman Wilson is the star of this wide receiving core. I know he's not as tall as Cornelius Johnson, but he's faster than everybody. He's going to be faster than everybody out there. And he showed up from game one all the way to the end against TCU. Roman Wilson is a star. I say he is a star caliber wide receiver, and I think he's Michigan's best. Now, I'll take something that I have seen from the Maize and Blue Review and some of the reports from practice. Darius Clemens, number zero, who at the spring game last year had an excellent catch in the back of the end zone. But a lot of good things being said about Clemens. Now, Clemens physically looked like he was ready to go, and he played as a true freshman. We know Amarian Walker is moved over, and he's playing on the defensive side of the ball at corner. But the other freshman, Tyler Morris, who had that big third down grab against Illinois, one of those two guys. I've heard more nice things about Clemens. But, you know, Morris, who had injured his knee in high school, came on and made the big catch against Illinois. It wouldn't surprise me if one of those guys ends up really stepping out and being a stud. And as you're talking about, a star caliber player. But, you know, Kojo could be that. And, you know, as a senior, he's got the size. And we saw him do it against Ohio State. Roman Wilson is a star. And then you're on to Clemens and Morris, the true sophomores. They got some other guys. You know, Henning, how he fits into that mix, however you want to, you know, put him in there. I feel like he's a slash where he could be the running back. He could be a wide receiver. He could just, you know, star on special teams. I'm not sure. And remember, they got three true freshmen who are all in for spring this year in Carmelo English, who was the highest rated player. Frederick Moore out of St. Louis, he's in, and the local product, Samaj Morgan. Can we predict that one of those guys is going to be out there in the two deep? Yes, Yes, we can. Let's take some more feedback from the folks. Scott realized that, you know, there was going to be a lot of playing time when Harbaugh named 10 starters on the offensive line. Jason is saying you go from 5 to 7 to 10 to 14 offensive linemen and continually swap them. It does leave room for miscues when it comes to verbiage and assignments. I know we're deep. I would stick to 10 max, barring injuries. OT saying it doesn't always happen. Look at OSU holding on to McCord and Brown. OT saying the guys don't always leave. That's right. It's not a, you know, when I say you either play them or lose them, it's not a 100%, you know, rule that if somebody doesn't play in the quarterback position is a little bit different, OT. You know what I mean? You can bide your time. And there's always situations where, you know, you might have an injury that sets you back, that somebody know that could keep you on the bench. And so you stay around. You could also see the depth chart really opening up, in particular at quarterback. And as OT talked about, I would think that's exactly what's going on with McCord, as he knows that being a starting quarterback for Ohio State, not everybody's going to walk right on and play that way. So that's a good point. Let's see what some others are saying. Andres is saying it's a good point. He's talking about Gorgeous Al Borges, that it makes sense that the O-line is the most chemistry-dependent unit. Going back and hearkening back from years ago where Al Borges was the offensive coordinator. I don't know. Tim making a point. Actually playing all these guys against the worst teams and playing often is going to be a huge bonus. The reason Michigan is going to have mostly two and done guys, the next level is going to have to be ready. Two and done. Well, you have to stay 3 years. So I think you know that. Maybe you're talking about two stars. Antoine talking about guys hitting the weights again. He still looks like he's in his first year. Yeah, you know what, Antoine? I will tell you this. There are some guys out there, and there are certain positions that when it comes to, you know, you wanting them to look like a certain type of, I don't know, wide receiver or running back, Roman Wilson's one of the fastest players in the country. So you wanting him to, you know, be, you know, I don't know, built like, you know, Tyreek Hill or something like that. I don't know. Like, I don't know what to tell you. You could still be, yeah, I think about, heck, he's still playing. He played for the Ravens last year. DeSean Jackson. Antoine, I'm sure when DeSean Jackson was scoring all the touchdowns early for Philadelphia, he was saying he needs to lift weights. He's not going to make it in the NFL. Roman Wilson has a superpower, and that superpower is speed. So, and, you know, I haven't really seen Roman Wilson and just walk around clothes or without a shirt on or whatever else to look at his physique. But he's one of like three players that I do follow on TikTok. So once in a while, I do see those guys. They run a lot of TikToks in the locker room. Roman Wilson's in better shape and is bigger than actually that you think, Antoine. And it goes back to the same thing with, you know, somebody like Donovan Edwards. Donovan Edwards is, you know, he's built just fine, you know, as one of the best running backs in the country. Guys were wanting him to, you know, put on a little extra weight. So there you go. OT is hearing things. He's saying he's hearing way more about Morris than Clemens. Well, there you go. Well, who are you hearing it from, OT? Remember, you got to weigh who you're hearing things from. There you go. Scott, 50 enduring Wilson versus Wilson and a 60-yard dash. Dennis gets a 20-yard head start. Who wins? I'm going to say without thinking about it, you know, that I just have to go 40 and Roman has to go 60. I'm going to say Roman. You know, a couple of years ago, I was out and I was enjoying running. And I still do enjoy it. I want to get back to going out there and running. But this was more long distance, not sprinting. But there were a few people at work, you know, around the combine. They were like, let's tape running 40 times and see what we're going to do. And I got down there and I'm like, all right, let's do it. And then I was talking to my wife and she's like, you know what? You're running distance. You're doing a pretty good job there. You know, you talk about how much you like it. You know, I was up over 3 miles, 3.5. This is a couple of years, probably over three since it was right before the pandemic. And she said, don't go out. You know, you sprint. And she was telling me a story about her friend's husband who they did the same thing. They were out in their parking lot at work. And the dude, like, they were running 40s, and the dude crashed through at the end. He beat the guy from work, but he fell on the pavement, screwed up his knee. And so when she said that, you know, I hung up, and she's like, well, you know, you just be smart, whatever you're doing. And then I watched the first guy run, and he went running, and he, like, careened into the office, and he, like, just hit his shoulder off one of the things. And I'm like, yeah, I think I'm just going to chill on my 40. I don't want to, if I had time to ramp up or something, you don't want to, you know, turn an ankle or sprain a hamstring if I just get out there against Roman Wilson. That's my first thought, OT, with you talking about me getting a 20-yard heads up and everything. Andre's saying I've got no shot. Antoine's saying I'm taking the comments to the extreme. Your comments. No, hey, I don't mean to, Antoine. I figure that with the rapport that we have, you know, I can let you have it a little bit since, you know, you and I have such a good relationship. So I do that. Now it is time. I want everybody to get ready. It is time, especially Andres, for a 50 in forecast. Now, my history in forecasting, my first ever forecast went to the quarterback from Providence Day in North Carolina, Jaden Davis. I have a forecast on Davis coming to Michigan. That one is still out there. This year, I placed my second ever forecast on Nicholas Harbor, who ended up going to South Carolina, which at this point right now has me batting zero when it comes to forecasting. However, you can't just sit on the sideline. And if you hear something and you feel like it's putting you across the line, I feel like it's my duty to make my third ever forecast, and I am putting it in right now on Blake Frazier, the son of Steve Frazier. I am putting a forecast for Blake Frazier to commit to Michigan. 6'6", 260, tackle from, Austin, Texas. His dad, Steve Frazier, if you go back and look at the Michigan 97 offensive line, you know, you'll go through and you'll say, the Adamy started here, and you had Jansen, and then you start going through. There was one game where Adamy, I think, was hurt, and they needed to. Steve Frazier got a start at center for Michigan in 97. That is Blake Frazier's daddy. And Blake Frazier, who was in this past weekend, last week, I don't know about the weekend, it was the tail end of last week now that I'm thinking about it. And after my conversation with somebody, I feel like this is going to happen. I feel like Blake Frazier is going to be a Michigan Wolverine. Now, he's a legacy, and that bodes well, but he's loving Michigan, and he really liked what Michigan was laying down this past week. Now, I'm going to go back because somebody else was rolling in and they were putting their own little forecast down there, but I guess I just don't see it. Oh, no, Scott. Here he is. Look at Scott was like, he's pretty sure Steve Frazier commits by the end of the week. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. I'm in. Me and Scott, we got our forecast in. Oh, there it is. That's my forecast. Let's see. We're going through some more of the feedback. These are the ones that I already read. Let's go back to Scott. He's on a roll. Him and I putting our forecast in on Frazier. Scott saying he's a university accounting professor, but if I were grading basketball coaches, I would give Tom Izzo an A and Juwan Howard a D+. Well, for the season, if you're talking about up to this point right now, you have to get into the tournament to get a passing grade. So I understand where you are with Juwan Howard. You're ready to give Tom Izzo an A because he made the Sweet 16. I think what you have to do, and that's fine because you're just talking about this season. You know, I was thinking about it because I'm back tonight. And, you know, a lot of people are like me in that the 4 days starting last Thursday, the running through Sunday, consecutively are the four best days annually in the sports calendar. I love them. You know, all day Thursday, all day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. Nonstop basketball starts at noon, doesn't get done till 12. All 4 days, it is a marathon, and it always comes through, and it's always great. This year was no different. But you come back for these next 4 days, and they're about as good. Now, look, no, I'm not watching basketball right now because there's no games on. But starting tonight at 6:30, there's 5 hours. Of basketball. What are there, 4 games? 5 hours of basketball starting at 6:30. You remind me because Michigan State is playing the first game against Kansas State. And, you know, Michigan State fans are happy. They should be that they're in the Sweet 16. But I had to think about it, and I was thinking about it today. Michigan's been to 5. It was snap this year. No, it doesn't count because they got to the Sweet 16 in the NIT. 5 in a row. Sweet 16s. The Wolverines made 2 of those with Howard. Now, the first year was wiped out because of the pandemic, but then the next two, including last year, Sweet 16. And actually an 8 for Juwan Howard in there. So, nice job. The final grade ends up being a lot nicer when you do well in the NCAA tournament. Like Matt Painter for Purdue, I would give him an A+ for what he did in the regular season in the Big Ten tournament, but then he gets an F for losing to FDU in the first round. Well, what's his overall grade? Isn't it even a B? C-? It's tough. And so you don't even get into the tournament at all. I'm with you on your grades. Although the thing about Izzo is that, you know, if you're a Michigan fan, you might like, you know, hey, you root for the Big Ten. You know, why not? You know, you get a little Michigan State fans. If Michigan's not in it, you root for Michigan State. I know a lot of people like that. But there's also a lot of people that just don't want, they like the troll aspect of, I don't want any success for Michigan State. There are people that are like that. And so if you are one of those people, you're like, what's his name? Scott Bell, who's on Twitter, is just waiting. He's already got his tweets all lined up if Michigan State loses, because Michigan and the success that they had getting to the Sweet 16, Michigan State fans were looking down their nose the last few years like, you guys celebrate those Sweet 16s like they're, you know, Final Fours. And if Izzo and company get stopped short tonight, there will be plenty of Michigan fans, trolls, that'll be reminding the green and white just how much success that Michigan has had. Enjoyed your great accomplishment this year. You're giving them an A. But if they stop at the Sweet 16, what I'm saying is it works for Michigan well. It works as a, if you're a Michigan fan and like the whole back and forth with Michigan State, Spartans lose tonight, then they're off season of like, you know, trumpeting anything like, oh, Mr. Barch and all this. You can say, okay, you know, we had five in a row. Now they've had a nice run, but they have 26 straight tournament. Those all are, and the Final Fours, they'll speak for themselves, but it's if you'd like to dig down and get into that back and forth with the green and white. Tonight, you'll be wanting to root for Kansas State. And you know I picked Kansas State to get to the Final Four. So that's where I'm sitting. Andres, on my forecast, he's buying. AJ, I don't care what Sparty does. They're only relevant when they play Michigan. There you go. You know, Antoine, I like your approach when it comes to Ohio State and Michigan State. You're true blue when it comes to that. You're not playing any games. You give your opinion when it comes down to Michigan's rivals. Okay, we've got something else for you. And let's turn the page. And it's NIL news for the Maize and Blue. Now, you might want to know exactly what this is. It's out there. Go to the Maize and Blue review. And, you know, you can see what they're on about. It's name, image, and likeness. And there's this whale of NIL that had been talked about in the even, and it might have been the spring, but certainly the summer last year. And the tale was somewhat like Michigan has an NIL brewing that is going to turn the college football world and turn college sports on its ear, what Michigan has planned. And behind the scenes, people were working really hard and saying, we got this whale and we're chasing it and just wait. And then everybody's like, well, when's it going to happen? And they were like, by the start of the season. Well, then the start of the season happened, and the guys were like, well, yeah, we're kind of getting our, you know, our ducks in a row. And then it was like, well, maybe by Christmas, the new year, you know, da-da-da, signing day. And then it didn't happen. And there, you know, I think you would have to give – some Michigan fans a break that were a little skeptical or pessimistic about this gigantic Michigan NIL that was going to, you know, show everybody who's boss or whatnot. But there has been progress, so much so that the monster NIL, the whale, has been caught. Ahab has brought home the big whale, and this NIL that is going to be unleashed on the college sports world with Michigan as the front runner. This is expected to happen by the end of the month, which is a week from Saturday. So just buckle in. Now, I have to say this, like I read the NILs and I'm all for them and I want Michigan players to get paid. And to me, this sounds like Michigan is doing everything that they can between the lines to fatten up their bank accounts and the NIL and be more competitive and be the leader and the best when it comes to name, image, and likeness in college athletics. I think that they've done their job. The question is, will it be enough? Because you can have the big fat pot of gold and you can tell everybody that you can get this gold in a year or two. And the other schools are still saying, you can have it right away. Michigan's saying, look it, do it the right way. It's going to be transformational, and then it will be transactional. You'll be able to put your hand in that pot of gold after a year or two, and you will be filthy rich. I don't know how they're presenting it, but that's my presentation. The other schools are like, we'll give you more than that right off the bat. You never have before you ever throw a pass. I don't know. This is how Michigan's doing it. I'm not criticizing in this point, like for Michigan right now. Michigan, I always said in this offseason, let's give them a, I'm going to give them a year to see where they're at. And then they did what they did with the transfer portal, which was a surprise to me. And now what they were able to do with name, image, and likeness, retaining their players, you know, everybody has to love that. This is that final, final bridge, the NIL bridge. And, you know, maybe Michigan, this is what is going to get them from the fringe top 100 players. And I know they're getting a couple, you know, and it vaults them into being able to get five stars left and right. And, you know, they break the seal and this thing, I don't know what we're going to complain about after that. I don't know. We're complaining about playing too many players, maybe, or, you know, something. We'll find something to complain about. But I just wanted to let people know that Michigan is at the front of name, image, and likeness. And the only question now is it going to be enough and will it work with how other teams are playing it? They have executed their plan, and it looks like it's going to drop by the end of this month, and people are going to sit back and say, wow, Michigan. Now we just have to see if it works. And maybe it will. I don't know. I hope it works. You hope it works. And it might work. We might be sitting here, and when you say imagine, I read a letter from Santa. Yeah, that's right. Usually you're sending letters to Santa, but Santa wrote his own letter today. The president of Michigan, and was it called 2034? I think it was. I read it, and I'm going to give you basically what I thought that it said. What Santa was telling donors and alums and fans is that he wanted feedback on how they imagine Michigan over the next 10 years, how they see the university operating over the next decade, and what can happen, and a free flowing of ideas, and imagine Michigan wherever you want it to be. And for a second, I thought, wow, you know, yeah, I hear successful people say, you know, you got to have your 6-month plan, your year plan, your 3-year plan, your, and Santa was saying, hey, a 10-year plan. I'm thinking Santa's pretty smart. Now, my first thought is, what could I imagine for myself? I imagine I've done this myself, maybe not quite to the extent that some of you have or Santa himself. But in 2024, which is next year, I've imagined myself at the big house with Texas coming in. I plan on being at that game. In 2033, this is what rang the bell, because Santa put the letter out there that I think was hashtag 2034. And I was like, why am I? Oh, 2033. In the year 2033, this old rivalry renews. And it's Michigan and Notre Dame, natural enemies, will play again. And I have that down on my things to do or imagine where you might be in 10 years. I'm 9 years off. I imagine being at that Michigan Notre Dame game. And yeah, a 1-year Michigan Texas. I'm imagining that. I need to open my imagination up for some other things, but right now I've got those two things. Texas and Notre Dame. Andres can't find anything about Michigan and NIL. Well, Andre, sometimes this particular show is kind of telling you things that are going to be being talked about in the next days or weeks. And, you know, sometimes you heard it here first. And, you know, that's why you show up every day, Andres. How many other forecasts are out there for Blake Frazier? I don't know the answer to that. But I know I got mine in. And I know what I was, I know the kind of information that I have about. And if somebody else has some information, that's good. But my information just came through on Friday that put me over the finish line. And I'm not sure the other guys have that kind of information. I'm not sure that they have that source that told me some great news, some interesting news that put me over the finish line. DJ Tut, Frazier, and Anderson will probably drop soon. They could possibly land seven on the offensive line. Do you think linemen committing could facilitate Jaden Davis's decision? Yeah, I think anything could facilitate Jaden Davis's decision. I don't think that Jaden Davis needs to be in any hurry. As much as you want him to be in a hurry it's understandable. You know, you're looking at that and you're thinking you want this guy to commit sooner rather than later. I get that. But, and I know a lot of people's like, the hell with him. Let's move on. Go after somebody else. You know, Michigan's rolling with him. And if it doesn't work out, they can go to the transfer portal or, you know, there's still some other guys out there that they go after. You know, as much as it looks like they, you know, and I've said it myself, they put all their eggs in the Davis basket. They put all their eggs in the Dante Moore basket. It didn't work out. You know, going after one guy and saying this is our guy, you know, should they go after two, three guys and say, hey, these are our guys? Maybe they're doing that when you look to next year. Like Bryce Underwood, they want. And, you know, they brought him in last week. Did they tell him? Unless Underwood's like, if Underwood said, hey, I want the Davis treatment. I want you guys to just – go after me and nobody else. I don't really know what the decision, I don't really know what the comment from Jim Harbaugh would be. Would he be like, well, you're going to go and look out for everyone else and you just want us to just zero in on you? I mean, you got to have those conversations. The thing that looks, the reason that I'm giving Davis the time here is that you have to remember that what Michigan went through with their quarterback coach in Weiss and what, you know, Harbaugh, who still hasn't signed that deal, which could be like, you know, could be the holdup for Davis. You know, just like Harbaugh not signing his contract with the big fat buyout, Davis might be just like, I'm just going to wait and see what Harbaugh's going to do. And if Michigan fans are like, let's move on, or if Harbaugh like, let's move, Davis would be like, all right. I think he wants to come to Michigan. But I also think that he doesn't have to be forced to do anything. I know a lot of people think when he comes back in June or that, you know, that he could come in then. I don't know. I think he's smart to be playing it like he is. I know, you know, like you just look at it from a Michigan side. I'm trying to look at recruiting from the other side too. He can go anywhere he wants still. And he could still go to Michigan. And what's Harbaugh telling about that buyout and his future in the NFL? If Harbaugh's saying, look, you know, we like Michigan because everybody in the NFL, anybody can, you know, go at any time. Davis is going to be like, I can't. I have to be in college for 3 years. And if you leave after this year, where does that leave me the next two? Now, maybe Harbaugh said, look, this is Sharon Moore. Sharon right there, very personable guy. He said, look, Harbaugh goes, it'll be me. Maybe they're selling him that. I don't know. I think they have to be selling that there's potential that this could be Jim's final year. Now, I know a lot of people don't like to hear that. I mean, it's right there out in front of us. So if we're going to have the Davis conversation, let's have the conversation that they might be selling more in 24. Jim in 23, more in 24, more in 25. Could be happening. Antoine saying that Davis is probably looking for a bag of money. Well, you know, Antoine, if you and I, if Jaden Davis was our next door neighbor and he came over and said, what should I do? You know, I've got teams that are talking about $4 million. I'll just make up a team. Clemson. Clemson saying they're going to give me $4 million. I know Dabo doesn't like that. Let's say North Carolina. It's home state. They're saying they're going to give me two up front, and then when I get on campus, right after that, there's going to be another two. $2 million. $4 million. Should I take that, or should I go to Michigan? Who, they're on the up and up. I don't know what he's... You say that like it's a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. And I know this is probably what Michigan fans don't like to hear. I don't think it's a bad thing for a player who earned has earned a situation where teams are throwing seven-figure deals at him to say, I'm going to take the seven-figure deal. What I would emphasize, Antoine, if Jaden Davis was my next-door neighbor, is like, don't be telling anybody in the media what kind of deal you're getting. Don't tell anybody. Get your deal, and then don't tell anyone. And then you'll have, maybe the guy across the street say, oh, watch out, Rashada, that really worked out for him. Well, that was one guy it didn't work out for. He didn't get his $13 million. But how about all of the other guys? Seems like it worked out pretty well for them, where they got paid. And then the other next door neighbor may come over and say, hey, you know, these guys are all a bunch of big fat cheaters. And then he'd say, well, what do you think about that? And saying, I don't know. You're not supposed to drive over 70 miles an hour, but everybody's driving over 70 and nobody's getting pulled over. So, you know, you sit around for a year and you drive the speed limit, everybody's flying past you. And then, you know, the next year you go and you're like, everybody's still driving. And it's 10 years, 20 years. Nobody's getting pulled over. People are driving 80, not getting pulled over. So I don't know how bad of a thing it is. I know it sounds bad to say, you know, guys are taking money before they go to, like, okay. You know, the way I am able to get over the hump of it's dirty cheating by all these other schools is that they've all been doing it since I've been watching football. Now it's really easy to do. And when I look at the last 2 years of all of the five stars and I look at the schools, it's not just Georgia and there's the majority of the top 25 schools that are bringing in five stars. I think they are all promising signing bonuses, all of them. Maybe there are a team or two in there that are just getting a five star and they're not offering, they're just saying, no. Come on in, you know, for the transformational approach. And the guy's like, okay. And, you know, Michigan's out on this island and maybe it's going to work for them. But, when I see that the university gets $75 million and the head coach is getting 10 and the assistant pool is, $10 million and I know how much I have to pay for cable. And that's even before anybody gets any of the ticket money and everything else. And so, yeah, the university can make hundreds of millions of dollars. The coach can make $10 million. I don't care if somebody wants to pay the player $1 million from where we're at right now. I don't care. But I'm in the minority with that. You know, people are like how Michigan is approaching it. And look, the other side is it could work for Michigan. But I have to admit, doing it the right way and being able to get there and being able to do it, there is value in that. I'm not making it say like, oh, yeah, they should be a bunch of big fat cheaters like everybody else because everybody else is. Even though I might feel that way, doing it this way, you know, does have its benefits. That's what I'm saying. That's it. Let's see. if we have some more feedback, we do. Ty says the basketball team needs an NIL deal. Yeah, more than anybody else, the basketball team, because, you know, football, you still have to stay for 3 years. You know, by the way, they probably shouldn't have to stay for 3 years. They should probably drop that down to 2 years, and then they should drop it down to 1 year, and then they should drop it down to no years. You can say, oh, my God, an offensive lineman, they're not ready to play in the NFL. Not about being ready to play. It's about if somebody will pay you. So the whole thing, when you start thinking about the money and guys getting it up front and everything else, once you see all this money flowing, they should change it up where guys don't have to stay around for 3 years. So get ready for that. But in basketball, I think they are going to change it. But right now, they only have to stay for a year. And with Michigan's approach is if you stay for a year, then we roll in the NIL deals. And guys are like, I'll be in the NBA. I'm out. I don't need your NIL. I need your NIL in August, not in March. So I think you're right when it comes down to that. What's Mark saying? Jim H. No Bill Frieder, his Michigan legacy and successor as important as NFL to him, is perhaps the best combo GOAT, NCAA, NFL coach. NFL player and coach. Jim Harbaugh, the best player, college football coach, NFL coach combination. You say perhaps? Absolutely. The perhaps part is that, Mark, I don't know of any college football coach who did it like Jim Harbaugh, had the success that he had in the NFL, and then went to college. There were plenty of guys like Nick Saban who went to the Dolphins, flamed out, and went back to college. Or there are plenty of guys that, like Pete Carroll, was with New England and then, you know, went back to college at USC and then went back to the pros. But none that had the success in the NFL. So Jim Harbaugh automatically just stands on his own. There's nobody that did it like Jim Harbaugh. Nobody. Now, you're saying, like, he's no Bill Frieder. Yep, you know, Bill Frieder, you know, took the money and left. He wasn't a Michigan man. Yeah, Pete Carroll didn't do it like, and I don't know what kind of NFL player Pete Carroll was, but he doesn't match up. But what Pete Carroll did with New England and the Jets, he didn't have another NFL job, and then he went to college, and then he went back to the pros. You know, Harbaugh went college, pro, and he would have been hired in the pros immediately or certainly with a year off, but he went back to college. That's not what Pete Carroll did in the end. All right, that's where I'm sitting here today. I do want to tell everybody, you know, OT was like, or it was Andre's, maybe, I forget. Or like, I'm not seeing any of this information anywhere else. Well, we're breaking it to you today. That's going to happen. You're going to hear, you know, some things if you're listening close that can happen that way. Now, if you want to know details all the time and what's going on with recruiting up to the second, then with spring practice notes up to the second, NIL details, what's happening right now. You join the Maize and Blue Review today. You go to michigan.rivals.com. You get a month. You get four free. That's happening right now. Full access today. Use the promo code UMSPRING23. That is UMSPRING23. Count 22 getting in at the very last moment with some breaking Jaden Davis news about him tweeting a top five. Well, if true, we'll be talking about it tomorrow, among other things. Everybody have a great day. Thanks for watching. Enjoy the basketball tonight. Bye.